as I look round this thinning congregation, thank you for coming back and staying. I appreciate it. But as I look round, it seems to me that some of us, perhaps even most of us, were born BG. Do you know what that means? It means that you were born in the good old days. BG means before Google. I've been given the topic of integrity to speak about, and normally, if I was going to go through this motion, what I would do is I would sit where I do my study, I would reach behind where my favourite thick books are. There are two of them, they're about this thick, about this big. I would reach for them, I would turn to the I, and I would run my finger down till I came to I for integrity, and there it would be all explained what integrity means. But now I have a computer. And now nobody uses a dictionary. Do you remember what a dictionary is? So it came to integrity, it came to the time I had to study for it. So I opened my computer, I went onto Google. I started, now I should tell you this, I'm very proud of this. I don't only have Google, I have interpretive Google. Don't ask me how I got it, it suddenly appeared on the screen. And so now, I don't even have to waste the energy moving a heavy book. I don't even have to type the full letters. I got far as typing INT. E-G, I hope I'm spelling this right, and the whole word came up. And what it told me was that nearly 70 million people had been there before me. You know, I looked at that and I thought, isn't that marvellous? 70 million, well, 69,900,000 people, if you want it exactly, had been there before me. If so many people have studied integrity, this old world can't be too bad a place, can it? But sadly, my joy was a little premature because, and I'm sorry about the screen here, because I discovered that most of the thousands of entries were on computer or computer systems integrity, and very few entries were on human integrity. It's a bit sad, that, isn't it? Now, incidentally, if you don't know what computer or systems analysis integrity is, please come and see me afterwards and I will amaze you with my minuscule knowledge of computer and computer language. So, to Wikipedia. Now, are you ready for this? And before we get there, interpreters, I am so sorry for you. I know I've prepared you for this. Please wave if I go too fast, and I'll be happy to wave back. This is the Wikipedia explanation of integrity, and we all know that if Wikipedia says it, it must be true. Integrity, a value system's abstraction, depth, and range of applicable interaction, may also function as significant factors in identifying integrity due to their congruence or lack of congruence with empirical observation. Simple, isn't it? My topic is supposed to be the integrity of health ministries personnel. And I could end my talk here by saying, OK, there's the definition, thank you and good night. Fine, that's quite a good idea. But I wasn't quite sure what that actually meant, I have to say. So I thought I'd better look a little deeper into this subject. So here's a better definition. Excuse me. What I think is a better definition. Integrity may be seen as the quality of having a sense of honesty and truthfulness in regard to the motivations for one's actions. Now that puts it a little more so I can understand it. I didn't think that was a bad working definition. It's not the best. I'm going to show you the best in a few moments. But I think it's rather a good one. in the 10 minutes, excuse me, extensive research I have done on worldly integrity, I came up with some terrible examples. I found that integrity is not a given in today's world. Some blame commercialism. Some the need to grab a headline. Some the desire to get their special and maybe good message across. But all the people I researched, and I honestly didn't spend a long time on it, I lost my will to live doing it. In all the people I researched, they all had compromised their integrity simply to get a message across. Where is integrity today? Incidentally, as I show you the next picture, excuse me, added to the two birthdays that we celebrated a few moments ago, here is a picture of part of the Houses of Parliament in England. At the other side, somewhere at this side of the screen, is Big Ben, which is a tower which has a clock which bongs every hour in a good English fashion. That clock is 150 years old today. I just thought you might like to know that. To those of you who are not from Britain and may not have heard the very sad news, and I have to say, I think it's very sad news, a British newspaper revealed some time ago that British politicians had been, would you allow me to use my language, had been stealing from the British taxpayer. And as I've just got my tax return, I feel very exercised about this. What they have done is they have been claiming expenses that they really shouldn't have claimed. Now, some of these expenses they claimed because there wasn't a law saying they couldn't claim them. One notable MP, for instance, who lives in a very grand house which has a river flowing through it, well, not through the house, but through the gardens, claimed to have restored a house in which he kept his ducks. Would you believe? I paid for that. No wonder my taxes are so high. I'm not so interested in the integrity of how they made the mistake, but on their reactions. I listen with interest to these politicians. Some apologised for, and I quote, an oversight. Some publicly paid back the money and then assumed that this made them okay and everything could continue as normal. But so far, I've only heard one British politician who has had the courage to admit that what he had done was morally, if not legally, wrong. Again, I ask, where is integrity in the 21st century? In your health work, have you ever found a book, an article, or a paper that claims something, but on closer inspection, you discover that the article hasn't revealed the full truth? It's withheld some statistics that don't really match what the author would like. In my office, I have some material like that. Have you ever noticed some research paper popularised in the press or in the media? And when you read the research, you see that the press have only extracted little bits. And actually, the research doesn't say what they claim it says. Where is the integrity? Or what about a research paper that gets wide media coverage only for a few months later some other scientists to come up with research which shows that the first paper was really not well based? Where is integrity? I found this simple and yet profound definition of integrity in a book published in 1903 called Education. Please forgive the non-politically correct language, for it is written in the vernacular of that particular day. Here it is. The greatest want of the world is the want of men. men who will not be bought or sold, men who in their inmost souls are true and honest, men who do not fear to call sin by its right name, men whose conscience is true to duty as the needle to the pole, men who will stand for the right though the heavens fall. Now I believe that is integrity. One of the greatest wants of the world is the want of people, as we would say today. People with integrity. For this is one of the best definitions I have managed to find. And I really did search, honestly I did search. But the question I have to ask myself is this. Does this describe me? Or does it describe how I would like to be? For integrity is so important in our professional and personal life. Please forgive the picture on the screen. I couldn't find a picture to illustrate the two stories I want to tell you. So I went to a file of a brilliant photographer's pictures of sunsets. Humility doesn't allow me to tell you the name of the photographer. So that's just to fill the screen. Integrity is so important in our professional and our personal life. After being approached for some help by a very distraught individual about 18 months ago, I've begun some personal research in how to help people who suffer from two specific addictions, the addiction to internet gambling and the addiction to internet pornography. And I was horrified to discover that in my church this is becoming quite a challenge, especially in my division, in the northern part of that division. Other responsibilities that of my work have not allowed me to spend as much time as I would like developing this work. But I have done a little work, and I have had the privilege of sitting at the feet of the American expert in sexual addictions, Dr. Patrick Carnes. He's a lovely man, he's a very witty man, and he loves British people, which makes him even better. As I listen to him, as I have talked to my brothers and sisters who are struggling against overwhelming odds of addiction, I have been struck by a common thread that seems to go through all of the stories that the expert told and the people I have talked to. One thread, especially amongst Christians, was the thread of, I've lost my integrity. Never mind the shame of what I've done. Never mind that because I've gambled away everything, my family has lost its home. I've lost my family. I've lost my wife. Never mind that. The third constant central theme is, now I am a nobody. Now I have lost everything. I suppose most of us here live our professional health in a Christian context. A long time ago, it is a long time ago, I have to tell the truth when I'm talking about integrity, a long time ago, when I was a young person, I attended a youth camp run by the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I heard a brilliant sermon from this old man who was leading the camp, the camp director. Actually, thinking back, I realised that he was about 40 years old, which actually is quite young, but in those days I thought it was terribly old. And you know, he spoke one day, I still can remember his sermon, about how we are known by our actions and the need to set good examples. He suggested that if we live close to Christ, we can live a life of peace and hope. Still remember the sermon. The camp went on. Now, of course, it wasn't me, but there were some young people at the camp who insisted on staying up late at night. I was already destined for the health department. Of course, I was in bed as soon as they told us to go to bed. And obviously, the youth director was struggling with tiredness. It came to the last night, and there were a few more young people who were quite rowdy, so I'm told, of course, quite rowdy, playing the poor man up. And something snapped. And he lost his temper, and he shouted at those young people. And do you know, I'm still in contact with some of those young people. They still remember that. I spoke to some of them a couple of weeks ago when I was preparing this, and I said, do you remember what Pastor so-and-so talked about on the second night of the camp? No? But do you remember when he lost his temper? Integrity is a vital thing for each of us. We can be the best health director in the world. We can be as up-to-date as possible with our facts. We can give our body to total vegetarianism and yet still be a sounding gong or a clanging cymbal if we have not got integrity. So, again, I ask, what is integrity? Taking what Ellen White put in that book, Education, applying it to today's world, this is what I have come up with. You're welcome to disagree. The dictionary's first definition of integrity is honesty, and that's as good as far as it goes. But integrity to me is saying something and meaning it. It is living out what you say. It is coming clean and saying, look, I don't know when you don't know. It is admitting when you are wrong or have made a mistake. It is showing that when you say something, you will live by it or are prepared to try to the best of your ability to do so. It is doing something because it is right, because God would have you do it and not do anything else. In some senses, integrity is being open and vulnerable. It is doing your best to be true to what you know to be right. And quite frankly, I know I have not reached those full definitions yet. Dare I ask, have you? It is the greatest want of the world. So will you come back to basic principles with me? Let's look at the wisest man that ever lived. Solomon wrote some very insightful proverbs. Here is one, Proverbs 19 verse 1, as found in the Message Bible. Better to be poor and honest than a rich person no one can trust. So far I've managed the poor bit. But isn't it a temptation sometimes when you've a subject you've got to present to only present favourable material and ignore the rest and hope nobody else has studied as deeply as you have? Of course, for a Christian health worker, there is, I would argue, a decided advantage in maintaining integrity. We have many biblical examples of this. I name but three. First of all, there was Joseph in the Old Testament. There was Mary. There was John the Baptist in the New Testament. Again, let me say, to name just a few of many, many biblical examples I could have given you. The point is that all these people were not some stained glass saints stuck in a church window, protected from heat and frost, just in case anything happened. Not at all. They were ordinary people like you and, well, ordinary people like me, who made mistakes, who were trying to do the best they could under God's blessing. That is integrity that leads to a quiet conscience and in turn leads to a contented health with a life stayed on God. So what has this to do with health? Well, actually quite a lot. I have the pleasure for the last 9 years of working in the Trans-European Division with some fantastic people. Here are two of them with me wearing crazy hats to keep out the sun at the beginning of the year, and you've seen enough of that. But it wasn't always like that. When I first came out of Newbold College, a fine educational institution which has turned out some brilliant people and me, I was sent to work with one of the best professional public speakers I have ever heard. He was brilliant. He ran a series of programs called Dead Men Do Tell Tales. That was a good introduction to the health department for me. And he would speak on archaeology, spouting fact after fact without any notes, sitting on a tall stool, surrounded by microphones. He was brilliant. But he had a problem. It was only a little problem. He sometimes told lies. Now, he and I were to visit together. I would drive him. Perhaps it was because I had to close my eyes whilst he was driving. I would drive him to a visit, and we would visit together. And during the visit, he would tell a lie, and he would turn to me and say, "Isn't that right, Paul?" And after the visit, as we were travelling to our next one, he would berate me, even shake his fist, saying, "And next time I say something, you back me up." The problem developed until this fine professional man lost his integrity. He began to believe his own lies more than the truth. Now, it was after I left him, but eventually, due to his illness, he took his own life. Now, that may be an extreme example, but I really feel that this man's downfall began with a little problem compromising his integrity, and it eventually destroyed him. I've also had the privilege of being associated with people who have the courage to say in public, "Look, I'm struggling with this." Or, "I've not achieved this so far." To me, that is more effective than someone who pretends to be what he or she is not. Computers have reputedly made our lives much easier. I don't believe it. Incidentally, didn't you think Beth was brilliant, sitting on a high chair where everybody could see her, typing on a French keyboard where the letters are mixed up so that everybody could see her good typing and mistakes? Oh, she has more courage than I have. Computers are great. They've given us a special language. We get computer bugs. Do you know what a bug is? It's when you have written your life history on the computer and failed to back it up. And you've got to page 1970, your computer gets a bug and psh, it's gone. Computer language has also given us this word I can't pronounce, but what it means is what you see is what you get. Isn't that a good definition of how health, people who work in health, should have their integrity? What you see is what you get. I thought that was rather good. Sorry, you don't. How do we achieve this? Those of you who know me know I'm a trained and still practicing. That means I haven't got to perfection yet. Still practicing minister. So I make no apology for sharing these simple facts with you. And I've been told I have to hurry, and I always do what I'm told. I've seen these simple facts work for people who have integrity and for people who have lost their integrity and are struggling to rebuild the most important thing in their lives. They find that a quiet conscience that leads to contented health with a life stayed on God has to be their main focus. It is to get close and remain close to God, to make him the first thought of the day and the last person spoken to at night. This becomes a safeguard, a test of our integrity, a measure of our progress or lack of it, a comfort and a help. There must be a continued sense of the presence of God with whom an intimate fellowship has been maintained. I'm so privileged to know people like that, some of whom have stood before you this week and seen the warmth and love of God flow from them. And they wouldn't want this, but I know that young people who have listened to them have thought and said to me, I'd like to be like him or her. I think it's good for us as we gather here together in meetings like this to be educated, to be updated, to get a new vision of what health ministries is all about. But this is just a brief respite. Brothers and sisters, friends, out there is where our work is. Not in here, out there. And out there are people who are just dying, and I use the word advisedly, dying for people with integrity to say, this is the way, walk in it. My fellow leader, people have the right, I say it again, have the right to expect us not only to show them the way, but also to reveal to them the way in our own lives. I can't look at the timekeeper just at the moment. I am finishing, honestly. Come with me to Luke chapter 11 in your minds. It's a chapter in the Bible that Christians know well. It's a Bible promise in context. In verse 9, Jesus promises, ask and it will be given to you. So if you feel there is a little difference between what integrity is and what you are, ask, it will be given to you. Then Jesus goes on to talk about parents wanting to give good gifts to their children. And he says this, verse 13, if you then know, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Oh, sometimes there is such a big gap between what I know I should be and what I am. Here is my help, my salvation, my integrity. God can grant the power to change, to become what we should be, not to pretend to do, but to do the right because it is right. We can do this. The Bible, and this is the last point, I can look at it now, this is the last point. The Bible makes this very clear. Sometimes if you have an old Bible, you know I have lots of old Bibles that wear out, and somehow I can't put them in the rubbish bin. Let me translate it, show my knowledge of languages for the Americans. I can't put it in the trash can because it doesn't go. The Holy Word of God doesn't go with that. If you have a Bible, go through and look at the invitations. Indicate the invitations of God to come. Almost the last words of the Bible say this, Revelation 22:17, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him who hears come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. It's the Spirit that can give us integrity. He says, come. Come. Come.